For many years, I didn't know what to make of Nehemiah chapter 3, a long list of persons we don't know much about, repairing parts of Jerusalem we don't know much about. It didn't seem particularly interesting or meaningful. How is all this relevant to us? What could we learn from such a passage? However, as we take time to consider the implications of this account, we will discover that it has much to teach us. For here we see that the work of rebuilding the walls was not an individual effort, but a community effort. This was a task undertaken by the community of God's people. It had to be, because no single individual could have rebuilt the walls on his own. Different groups of persons are listed as the construction crew, and they had different occupations: priests, goldsmiths, perfumers, rulers, temple servants, merchants. Many came from different places, and they probably had different personalities. There were many differences. But despite these differences, there they were, building and repairing the walls together. They had the same mission, and together they responded to God's call to rise up and build. The groups were assigned to build and repair different parts of the walls. For the purpose of protecting the city, the entire wall was only as strong as its weakest section. The entire wall was only as strong as its weakest section. If there was a part of the wall that was not constructed well, this would surely be exploited by enemies to the detriment of the whole city. The welfare of God's people depended on everyone doing their part. What was needed wasn't competition, but cooperation. It's interesting to imagine what things were like when two groups were building next to each other. It's one thing to focus on your own section of the wall, but that meeting point between two sections would have been a likely place for conflict. The groups might have had different views on how to build. Each might have thought that their way was better. But they couldn't achieve success unless they worked together. Partnership was critical for the wall to be well constructed. They would have to lay aside their differences for the welfare of the whole community, for the welfare of the whole city. It's not difficult to see how all this applies to us as a church. Understanding the call to rebuild the walls is a call for us as one people to strengthen our relationship with God, both personal and corporate. This must be seen as a community effort. We may come from different biological families. We may come from different places, backgrounds, cultures. But we have to build the walls together. We have to do our part. We have to rebuild our section of the wall. But there will be areas of church life in which we will have to build side by side with others. At these points, success cannot be achieved by working separately. Partnership is crucial, and we have to lay aside our differences for the welfare of the whole community, for the welfare of the whole church. With this in mind, we can see that Nehemiah chapter 3 is a powerful lesson on unity. It is a record of God's people coming together in spite of their differences to fulfill God's mission. This, my friends, is Christian community. The German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, shares some very challenging reflections on this subject. He writes that the basis of spiritual community is truth, whereas the basis of emotional community is desire. The basis of spiritual community is truth, whereas the basis of emotional community is desire. Let's first consider the second half of that statement. What Bonhoeffer means by emotional community is community that is based on what comes from the natural urges and abilities of the human soul, based on our desires, our preferences. In such an emotional community, if we like one another, we see ourselves as a community. If we don't like one another, we discard the idea of community and we turn our backs on each other. As Bonhoeffer asserts, however, the basis of spiritual community is truth, not desire. Our emotions don't matter quite as much as you might think. We are a spiritual community, not based on what we like, but based on God's truth, based on what God has said and done. Hence, Bonhoeffer declares that spiritual community is not an ideal, but a divine reality. Not an ideal, but a divine reality. We're not trying to become the body of Christ. We already are the body of Christ, a spiritual community. We proclaim this truth whenever we share the peace during the Holy Communion service. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. We declare the truth of who we are in Christ, and we commit ourselves to live accordingly. That we are a spiritual community is beyond question. It's not something we are working towards. No, it's a God-ordained reality. The question is whether our behavior reflects this reality. The sharing of the peace isn't merely a time for us to greet one another. It means much, much more than that. It affirms our identity as God's people. It declares that we have been made one because we are in Christ. And this obliges us to behave in a way that builds up our common life. We're not to share the peace only with persons whom we like. We are affirming the truth that the whole community of God's people is one in Christ, and we are committing ourselves to build up our community together. In line with this emphasis on spiritual community, Jesus' words in Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to 35, radically redefine our understanding of family. He declares that those who do the will of the Father are counted as his brothers, his sisters, his mothers. They are bound together as members of one spiritual family, God's family. In the short time that I've been part of St. Andrew's Cathedral, I've heard the term cathedral family used several times. Allow me to ask, do we really see ourselves as one spiritual family? Does our conduct reflect this reality? Are we truly pursuing all that makes for peace and builds up a common life? With reference to Nehemiah chapter 3, are we building the walls of Jerusalem side by side, hand in hand? Or is this work hindered by our personal differences and disagreements? Are we hampered by division and distrust? The sections of the wall can represent our various ministries, services, language congregations. Are we building as one people? Or are our walls in disrepair because we are unwilling to work together? Are our cliques, our clans, our camps undermining unity in the family of God? This emphasis on the unity of the church is found throughout the New Testament. It's a repeated theme in the epistles. And this tells us two things. One, it is very important. And two, it is very difficult. Repeated instructions were needed because the churches were falling short time and again. It was difficult for them. It is difficult for us. It is difficult for me. I'm still learning and I have a very long way to go. It is incredibly difficult for the church to walk in unity. But this is God's desire for us. My brothers and sisters, and here I do not use these terms lightly, would you commit to rebuilding the walls together? Make no mistake, this will be hard work, dirty work, sacrificial work. Let's not be naive. If we commit to this, we will be hurt by others. We will find at times that things are terribly unfair. We will want so much to give up and walk away. But if we do so, we will be turning our backs on God's mission for our church. In Nehemiah 3, verse 5, we find a phrase that I hope will not be said of any of us. Their nobles would not stoop to serve their Lord. There were some who thought too highly of themselves and were unwilling to humbly join in the work with the rest of the people. I pray that none of us will think that we are above this task of rebuilding, or that this lesson is meant for others, others who aren't at our level, and not for ourselves. Let's allow God to search our hearts. How have we fallen short? How have we undermined unity through our thoughts, through our words, and through our deeds? What steps should we personally take so that we as a community can rebuild as one people? As Nehemiah 3:5 reminds us, the task of rebuilding the walls is our service to God. He expects it of us, and He will empower us for this very challenging work. God calls us to rise up as one people, overcoming our differences, overcoming our disagreements, overcoming our difficulties, and build. Allow me to finish my sermon by sharing a song with you, a song that I wrote some time ago when I felt burdened and broken by the state of the church. This song is a cry for God to heal and transform us so that we can love as we have been loved, so that we can live out what it means to be a spiritual community, the family of God, the body of Christ. It's important for me to share with you that late last year, when I knew that I would be coming to SAC in January, God had laid it upon my heart that I would have to share this song with the cathedral community. And that was before Reverend Lewis and I had discussed the sermon series. When he eventually assigned Nehemiah 3 to me, I knew that this was the appointed time for this song to be sung. I pray that God will stir our souls so that we will make this song our cry and our prayer. May He pour out His love on us and change our hearts so that we can rebuild the walls together.
God has Lord, we pray, have your way in this place. Pour out your love on us, Lord. Let the waves come and break down the walls of our hearts, humbly to love and to serve one another. Better than ourselves, pour out your love. What would it take for us to look inside? Your compassion and healing, so we plead humbly for mercy. What would it take for us to look beyond ourselves and even lay down our lives for a friend? In our flesh we've but weakness, yet in your strength we are able. Lord, we pray, have your way in this place. Pour out your love on us, Lord. Let the waves come and break down the walls of our hearts, humbly to love and to serve one another. Lord, by your grace, Lord, we pray that help us love one another with the love we've been shown. Pour out your love. Pour out your love. Pour out your love. Pour out your love. Pour out your love on us, Lord. Let the waves come and break down the walls of our hearts, humbly to love and to serve one another. Consider each other better than ourselves. Pour out your love on us, Lord. Let the waves come and soothe all the pain in our hearts. Restored by your grace, Lord, we pray that you help us love one another with the love we've been shown. Help us love one another with the love we've been shown. Oh, pour out your love. Pour out.